How y'all doing? How you really doing? Come on, after that worship, I thought you'd be a little better than that. Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm so excited to be with you here today. Holy Spirit. You know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of emotions arise. You know, we just sang this song, I'm Desperate for You. And I was just imparted, I don't mind saying I'm desperate for God. Because I really, really, truly am. And but I, as a man, we were singing, I'm lost. And no man wants to admit he's lost. And I was, torn in that song. I was like, well, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. And I felt like God just imparting to me. I just had this thought. That's what I mean by that. God saying, yeah, I know where you are and you're lost. Okay. And I need all the help I can get. How about you? See, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, how many of you could use all the help you can get? Male and female alike. Come on. In John 16, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and it's to your advantage. How many of y'all could use an advantage? How many of y'all have an advantage card? Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I'll take any cents off a gallon I can get. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And I really feel like when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's an advantage that we're not taking advantage of. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about who He is. Remember, the Holy Spirit's not an it, it's a who. Big difference here. It's a who. It's part of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit, He, not it. And there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. And as soon as you mention the Holy Spirit, there's some people that are like, yes, pour it out. And there's others that are like, I'm not really into this. Because maybe you had a bad experience, or maybe you heard about people barking like dogs or clucking like chickens or doing whatever it is you heard. You didn't see it, but you heard. You heard about those people. But we all have preconceived ideas based on something about the Holy Spirit, and it's confusion. And then, to add to it, we refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. After all, who likes ghosts, okay? I don't want nothing to do with no ghosts. Come on. See, what I'm trying to say to you today is this, is that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we all have a preconceived idea. We have some things we think. We either have the past that was good, and we're trying to go back there, or we have a past that was bad, and we're trying to escape it. But no matter what it is, what I believe God wants to do is clean the slate and say, okay, let's take a fresh look at the Holy Spirit. Let's take a fresh look at this Holy Spirit. And we use this term in church a lot. We use this word anointed. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? Have you heard it? That song was anointed, right? Or that preaching was anointed. Or that moment was anointed. So the problem is the longer we sit in church, it's like, would somebody just please explain to me what the anointing is? Glad you asked, because that's what we're going to do today. What is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? What's it for? What's it do? How do you know if you're anointed? And what is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit? The problem is most of us have confined the Holy Spirit to the 75 to 90 minutes we spend in church. And we limit the Holy Spirit to that is the Holy Spirit, but when we leave here, I'm on my own. And it's not true. The Holy Spirit's 24/7. And there's so much more. And we use this term in church. There's more. There's more of God for you. There's more to experience. How many of y'all want the more of God? How many of y'all want the advantage of God? Come on, see, this is for you then. So how do we define what is the more? What is the advantage? And how, as a man, can I say that, God, I'm lost without you, and I could use all the help I can get, and God, you're going to lead me into my week. Are you with me now? If you are confused about the Holy Spirit, congratulations. The whole book of Acts is about people who are confused about the Holy Spirit. And then Paul went on to write Corinthians as well. And then Galatians and so on, because actually the early church, they were just trying to figure out who the Holy Spirit was. What was the Holy Spirit doing? How do we understand the Holy Spirit? And what's the big idea and big deal with the Holy Spirit? That's what we want to answer for you. And that's what I want to help you with today here. Okay, so let's talk about Old Testament first. Old Testament. Exodus 30:30 as an example. In Exodus 30:30 here, what we find is this: anoint Aaron and his sons. Anoint means to smear oil on. That's really what anoint, that's what anoint means. It means to take oil and smear it, or they would pour it on you. They would literally pour oil, or they would smear. How many of y'all, men and women, how many of y'all remember baseball, softball season, spring, you would get your glove out? You'd rub oil on it. How many of y'all ever did that? Okay, if you didn't, you haven't lived, okay? Come on. You know, the excitement of that glove, the excitement of getting it broken in, you would rub oil into it. That's the anointing here. And he says, consecrating, setting them apart as priests. Okay, so the Old Testament anointing is this. There's a certain person, a task is with a certain task for a certain time. That means it was external, it was temporary, and it was conditional. That means in the Old Testament, you were anointed to do something, but after you did that something, the anointing was no longer yours. See, most of us here are living under an Old Testament mindset. Like Pastor Gary here, the founder of this location, he's on his way right now to Kenya. And so like, Pastor Gary is anointed because he's going to do the Lord's work. Pastor Ben is anointed. He's doing the Lord's work. Aaron and the worship team, they're anointed because they're doing the Lord's work. And most of us think, well, they're only anointed right here. And after the songs are over, it's like, oh, Aaron's just an ordinary guy. Right? That's Old Testament mentality. In the New Testament, we have something different. In the New Testament, we have it's very different with this. And what we find is it's internal, it's universal, means men, women, and children, and it's continual. That's the New Testament anointing here. We see it all through the New Testament here. It was something that happens on the inside. It was something that happens continually here. And it's for all of us, for all of your life. No, see, you got to catch this. Most of us are living under Old Testament theology. The New Testament means you can get help from the Holy Spirit all the time. It's the help desk that never turns off. No, you see, you got to get this. You know, don't you love when you have a problem and you call and it's like, we'll be back Monday. It's, 8:00. It's like that didn't help nobody, right? The Holy Spirit's not like that. The Holy Spirit's available all the time, all everywhere here, all through the book of Acts. It's for daily living, spiritual discernment, and direction. How many of us, I'm going to say me first, could use a little bit of help with godly daily living? How many of y'all could use a little more discernment? How many of you really want some direction? That's what the Holy Spirit does. See, the New Testament means everybody can get it. You don't got to be one of those special people. Because when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you became special because God says, you're mine, and I'm going to give you help, and it's better that I go away, because when I go away, could you imagine Jesus' disciples? They're sitting there, and he goes, it's better for you if I leave. And they're like, what's better than this? No, think about that. What's better than Jesus? And he's saying, no, it's going to get better for you. But most of us, this is the problem. We're living out of our personality, not our spirituality. Most of us are here today to add just enough Jesus to our personality so that we feel good about ourselves, but not enough to transform us. And the Holy Spirit is about transformation, not about helping us feel better about ourselves. Okay, if I just wanted you to feel better about yourself, you would just come to church, we would give you a $50 gift card and say, go to lunch somewhere. And you would feel better. How many of you, how many of you would feel better? A couple of you. Okay, good. We just saved a lot of money. Come on. But what I'm trying to say is, like, that just makes me feel better temporary, but I want something that resides inside of me and helps me. So what does this anointing really look like here? See, I want something continual. I want something daily. I want something that transforms my life. How about you? But most of us aren't experiencing the more. Because again, we're living in just our daily, this is just as good as it gets. This is my personality. This is just how much information I have, when God has so much more. How many of you are ready for more? Jesus in Luke 4:18, he said, the anointing is upon me to see the captive set free, brokenhearted healed, downtrodden lifted, those with blinded eyes open. Jesus said this was his anointing. He had the Spirit of God on him. He was Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed one. See, so when you're a Christian, Christianity means that we're anointed with the same anointing. But the problem is we've traded in Christianity for churchianity. We've created this thing where as long as I come to church, I get some information, I feel good in the moment, I smile, I pretend like everything's okay. Don't worry, several of you are saying, he's talking to me right now. Yeah, I am. Yeah, you're pretending like everything's okay. You're going through the motions. You're just like, yeah, everything, how you doing? Good. It's not good. Yeah, God's good. You're doing okay. Come on, somebody, yeah. And see, but the anointed one, Christ, Christianity, well, that means we are anointed. We have this anointing so that there's a transformation that takes place in our lives of captives being set free. But the problem is you gotta agree you're a captive before you can get set free. If you keep trying to pretend like you're not a captive, you ain't never gonna get set free. Oh, I'm not downtrodden. I'm not lost. I'm not desperate. I'm not these things. Again, that's churchianity. Let's never be good at churchianity. Let's be good at Christianity that requires the church to help us in community live out the anointing of Christ. Are you glad you came to church today? Okay, come on. Come on, it's going to get better. And after all, there's more here. Jesus, Acts 1, Jesus said, okay, here we go. He was eating, he commanded them. And this is Jesus in Acts chapter 1. He says, okay, hey, don't leave Jerusalem and don't leave here until you get the gift that was promised. See, we relegate this to like the spiritual things, which is true, but this, well, how about we did this? How about I say this? Hey, tomorrow morning, how many of you are going to work tomorrow or school? How many of you are going to go? Okay, man, not a lot of people. How many need a job? We'll pray for that. No. How about we say, or how many of y'all plan on leaving your house tomorrow? Okay, good, okay. How about we say this? Don't leave your house tomorrow until you get the gift promised to you, the Holy Spirit. No, don't go to the store. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't go to work, don't go to anywhere, because you need help from the Holy Spirit. See, we don't think of it that way. We don't, we're not thinking in those terms. We're thinking more in terms of, well, no, that's for church. That's for the spiritual ones with the gifts. Y'all got gifts. Look at your neighbor and say, you got gifts. Come on, yeah. And there's power here. So Jesus says, don't do anything until you get this help, this advantage, this promise. And he says, and you're gonna receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're gonna be my witnesses. I love that word witnesses. It's actually where we get our word martyr. Oh, that got quiet. For those of you at home listening, they're still here, yeah. No, that means martyr. That means we're gonna be witnesses and there's gonna be a martyrdom. Nobody preaches about that one. No, everybody that would like to be a martyr, you're gonna line up over here. That person would be like the Maytag repairman. It'd be like, nobody's coming. But how many of y'all would like a better life and be happy all the time? See, the power of the Holy Spirit is continual. It's onward. It's growing in us. And Jesus wants to give us so much more. See, the anointing is God's presence and power on our lives. In 1 John 2, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Most of us read this verse, and you read it as me. This word you is not singular, it's plural. It's us. So we read this and say, look, I don't have anybody needs to teach me anything. I got the Holy Spirit, I'm good. Not true. If you really read this in text, it's saying that all of us have an anointing when we are together. So therefore, together we learn and have wisdom and know how to act. Are you with me? Yeah, come on now. And he says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Most of us are going to spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what that means, because we really don't have any concept of it. Again, because I'm so used to living, we think the goal of Christianity is to be self-sufficient. When it's not, it's to be God-dependent. The goal of Christianity is to get you at the end of yourself so that you trust the Holy Spirit for help. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's what we're doing here at Bridge City Church. This is Pastor Ben's mission. He wants to get you to the end of yourself. He wants to get you in a room full of kids at the escape room, vacation Bible school. So you're going to trust in God that he's going to do something great in those young lives. Come on, somebody. See, are you with me? You say, well, I'm not good with kids. Okay, then we're going to put a vest on you. You're going to be outside. You're going to help park cars, or you're going to help do something there. Okay, and it's going to be hot. And you don't get any water. We'll get you to the end of yourself, okay? See, come on, the Holy Spirit anointing is an adventure. But let me just say this. A sign of the Holy Spirit is you are holy. If you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, there should be holiness. You should like holiness. I want you to catch this. See, it doesn't get any deeper than this. Holiness is important. Me being separate from the world, that's what it means, separated from the world, but for God. I've been separated from the world so I can be useful for God. If my being separated from the world just produces arrogance on me and spiritual pride, that's not the Holy Spirit. If it's like, well, I got the gifts and you don't, the Apostle Paul wrote all about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Basically, let me give you his interpretation. Stop it. That's arrogance and pride. The Holy Spirit is supposed to draw us into him, give us direction, give us help in daily living here. So let me give you my definition of the Holy Spirit here. Holy Spirit anointing, the indwelling power and presence to accomplish what Jesus has given me to do. That's the simplest I can explain it to you. It's the indwelling power and presence of Jesus so you can be helped in what you do. The problem is, it's not only for your Sunday morning. Now, how many of you work a job? Okay. How many of you are married? How many of you have a family? How many of you have a house? How many of you live in a community? I don't know where you'd live if you didn't. How many of you have money? How many of you would like more money? How many of you would like to make more money? Why don't you tap into the advantage? No, the Holy Spirit said he's going to give you an advantage financially. Have you tapped into the advantage? Whoa, wait a minute, dial it down a little bit. You're getting a little too crazy with this Holy Spirit thing. I just thought you were going to talk about speaking in tongues, but now you're talking about money. Listen, listen, I wish you all spoke in tongues more. I try not to let a day go by where I'm not. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he bragged about how much he spoke in tongues. He says, I do it way more than you all. The Apostle Paul said that. I'm bragging about it, but why wouldn't I want to tap into the advantage? You want to make more money, you want more. Why not, like, before you go to work, pray for that situation that you're trying to solve at work? And let the Holy Spirit give you a dream, give you a vision. Now, don't go to work and say, thus saith the Lord thy God. Okay, don't do that. Just say, hey, I was thinking, and I really feel like I have an idea that might work. Oh, my goodness, that's God. Most of us don't do that, do we? We only go to God with the bad stuff, not the God help me be the good stuff. The Holy Spirit's for all of my life. See, I'm switching gears now. I gave you some Bible. Now I'm switching gears. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians that my preaching and my teaching will be a demonstration of the power and wisdom of God. That's the Apostle Paul talking there. He says, now, how many of us say that I wish my marriage, I wish my parenting and my grandparenting, I wish my finances, I wish the way I worked as an employee, I wish that the way I treated my neighbors on the street that I live, I wish that that was a demonstration of the power of God. That, my friends, is anointing. Are you feeling, is it expanding in your head right now? No, I want to expand your thought of the anointing of God right now. Most of us don't think, though, in those terms here. We're limiting the Holy Spirit that my faith should be found in God. So when people look at the way I treat my wife, that Natalie, and that it honors God, they're looking at that going, wow, that's a demonstration of the power and presence of God. See, me on my own without the Holy Spirit, I'm sinful, selfish, and sarcastic. Yeah. Hang out with me a while, minus the Holy Spirit. I'm just the only one here willing to say that that's me without the Holy Ghost. Now, Natalie's here. You can get the truth. But me with the Holy Spirit help, I have a fighting chance to not be selfish, to not be sarcastic, to not be sinful, because I'm just like you. I need all the advantage I can get. I need the help I can get. And I think the devil is really cool if we come to church and we hoopla and how and we have Holy Ghost times, as long as it doesn't leave the doors. I think he's so cool. Oh yeah, go have your little church service. I think he's like, well, go ahead. Just long as you don't affect anybody else, long as nobody at work says, wow, you're a changed man, you're a changed woman. No, are you tracking me now? And this is what the Holy Spirit is for here. So I want to give you, listen, the Holy Spirit wants to give us a life of adventure. If we limit, and I'm jumping into next week. I'm sorry, Pastor, but I'm taking your text, you know. You're going to do good with it anyhow. You're good, yeah. If we limit the gifts of the Holy Spirit to only here, when's the last time you were in the line at the grocery store and you just really felt like you were to pay for the person's groceries in front of you? Or you said, man, I really feel like I just have this impression that God wants to encourage you today, that something bad happened in your heart or life and that like you felt like God prompting you. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. It's not only what happens here, it's the transformation that happens in my home. It's the transformation that happens when I'm more disciplined. That's this. So I want to read you a couple verses out of the Message translation, one in Ephesians and one in 2 Corinthians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, don't grieve God. How many of y'all don't want to grieve God? I think that would be a good goal, okay? If you don't have a goal, that should be a good one, okay? Don't grieve God. That means don't be selfish. Practice forgiveness. Do those things that are listed before there. It says, don't break his heart. I do not want to break God's heart. And it said, His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life. It makes you fit for Himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. And I'm here today to challenge us that sometimes we take God's gifts for granted. I take people for granted. Pastors are a gift from God. We take pastors for granted. I thought there would be like a little, at least a... No, come on, we do. We take Holy Spirit gift for granted because we didn't develop an intimate relationship with God. Let me read to you this one. This is just burning in me, 2 Corinthians. The last verse in 2 Corinthians 13 here. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. Amazing grace. No, amazing grace of Jesus be upon you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Come on. Yeah, me too. The extravagant love of God. How many of y'all, but I want more grace in my life. I want more of the love of God in my life. But then we read on. The next one is an intimate fellowship, a friendship with the Holy Spirit. It's like, ooh. Wait a minute. No, we should desire an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, an intimate, this means parakletos. It's Greek for partnership. He's with you. I want to know the Holy Spirit with me, beside me, going with me everywhere I go, He goes. And how do you develop an intimate relationship? It's called trust. I don't care what relationship you have, whether it's you and your boss, you and your neighbor, you and your parent, a cousin, a relative, you and your spouse, it all comes down to the speed of trust. And you'll never be able to trust the Holy Spirit until you trust the Holy Spirit. You gotta start somewhere. You gotta start somewhere. See, what I'm trying to tell you, the anointing of God is for my everyday life. It's not just for here. It's for when I'm challenged and I'm upset because I just hit a great shot. Not bragging, but it does happen. Playing tennis, but they called it out. And I know it was in. See, how do I act in that situation? Do I just move on and say, it's a game, it's okay? And I pray for their eyesight right now in Jesus' name. Pray for a clear conscience for them. Are you with me? See, this is real life. What do you do when you find out your car repair isn't gonna be $120, it just went to $680? Oh! What am I gonna do? Well, if you were tapped into the Holy Spirit that morning, the Holy Spirit would have told you that was going to happen. So you'd have been prepared. Why not know in advance? Is this helping you? No, we can't limit it. So how do we know the Holy Spirit? It's found in my life. The anointing of God is for my everyday life. It's for my finances, it's for my discipline, it's for every relationship, it's for the way that I treat people, it's the way I forgive people. How many of y'all need help forgiving people? Like today. Come on. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be saying, I'm desperate because I can't do this on my own. I deserve this. I want this. I'm entitled to this. No, the Holy Spirit. I was on a call this week with a group of pastors, and one of the pastors was going through some physical things, and he goes, I just feel so worthless. He said those words, and I said, oh, don't say that. You're pronouncing death on your life. You're saying death, and don't do that. I mean, you're worth what God paid for you. I'm trying to encourage him. And Pastor Keith Tusey, the founder of our church, he was on the call. And he goes, it's about time you agree with what God says. Like, Yeah, on your own, by yourself, you're worthless. God redeems situations. And God will anoint you to go through it. I may feel that way, but God's redeeming me and filling me and anointing me. And with his anointing, I'm not worthless. On my own, in my own mind, I am. Okay, so this is the red letters of Jesus. I want you to take a picture of this. This is good. Red lettered words of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. Well, this is what he does. And all the verses are listed there. A comforter. Do you know when you need a comforter? When you're in distress. When things are going good, I don't need a comforter. I only need a comforter at home. I need a blanket when I'm cold. Right? When things are fine, I don't need it. I need a counselor. I need helper. I need the advantage. I need confirmation of the words of Jesus. I need courage and boldness. I need to know that God is close beside me as an advocate. I want to know conviction of sin. I want to know captive set free. Now listen, the sign and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is when you're going through tough times, but you still got all of these. And he's there for you. He wants to help you in your times of distress, in your times of confusion, in your times of long suffering, in your times of I'm not sure where God is. I trust him. He is good and he is awesome and he's great. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you don't know the future, but you still are filled with joy and hope, that's the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things in our life right now. I don't know the future. I don't know what exactly is going to happen in the future. The problem is in the good old US of A, and Christians in the United States, we love control. We love control, but you don't see it there. It means God's in control, and his Holy Spirit's going to help me. And when I don't know the future, when I don't know what's happening, but I still have the Holy Spirit power and presence that he's given me, and he's given me a purpose, and he's not going to let me down. Come on, somebody. That's the anointing. The anointing is for every day. Holy Spirit, help me. Every day I'm reading the Bible, Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit doesn't matter if you come to church and you do all these holy things and you just go along your normal way and be selfish and sinful and sarcastic. Well, those are mine. You can share mine if you want, but you can be your stuff. No. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me understand your word. Help me understand this situation. Help me understand how I can get to the end of myself. Help me understand these things. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. So when we demonstrate these things in our lives, that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Is this helping you today? Come on. Come on. I want you to leave here today empowered. I really, really, really do. I want you to leave empowered with the presence of God on your life. So manifestations of the Holy Spirit, I've given them to you right now. You serve your boss, not with eye service, but with a heart. You serve those around you. You're willing to be inconvenienced. You're willing to say, Jesus, help me. Okay. Let me just take the last minutes that we have together today, and let me try to give you an illustration. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to swing hard, okay? I'm going to swing with all I got, okay? I'm ready, okay? Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel 47. I'm not teaching this text. I'm trying to use it as an illustration to help you, okay? I want to make sure that's clear. I'm trying to give you an illustration that's going to help you when you leave here. Now, there was a vision. There was a vision Ezekiel had. And that is a fancy way of maybe an impression, maybe a revelation that he wouldn't have gotten on his own. Okay, is that good? And he sees a river coming from the throne of God. From the throne of God. Picture God in heaven on the throne. And there's this river that comes. And so in verse 3 of Ezekiel 47 there, he starts talking about it. So he measures so long in the stream, a river there. And then he came across and he says the first verse 3 is just up to his ankles. The stream is just up to its ankles. Now, how many of y'all have ever been in a, in Western Pennsylvania, we don't have streams, we have creeks. How many of y'all have ever been in a creek? Okay. Okay. Creek, crick, whatever side of town you're from, okay? But how many of y'all have ever been in the ocean up to your ankles? Okay. Yeah, you've been there. It's like it splashes a little bit, but like, oh, yeah, it's cold. Woo. You know, oh, it's warm. You know, it's like the first thing we do, right? We just share. And so the stream of God's up to our ankles. I believe this is like an example. An example could be of salvation. You receive Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my past. Lead me to my future. I want to be a follower of yours. Most of us get in up to our ankles. It's like, ooh, I'm in the water. And then we go a little further, and it measures out so many cubits there, and it gets up to, where does it go next? Knees, okay? And then we get up to our knees. And it gets, you know, especially if you're in a river or something moving, you got to be, you know, you got to kind of walk a little. The older you get, you walk slower. Right? Yeah. When you're young, you just plow right in, you know? And now this is you serving in church. I'm going to serve a little. I'm going to throw a few dollars in. I'm going to just do a little bit. You up to your knees. Oh, I'm in the river. I'm in the Holy Spirit. He's leading me now. But then the next little bit, the river gets higher as you keep going in Christ. It gets up to your waist. And it gets up to your waist. And then how many of you have ever been in a river or even the ocean up to your waist? How many of you have ever been there? How many of you know at that point, and not like the like a ocean, maybe the way, a lot of waves, the Atlantic, or in, you know, the Mon or the Allegheny River. Like, how many of y'all, your waist, you got to like, what do you got to do at that point? Come on, what do you got to do? And you're like, I got to be stable here. Because if I'm not stable, I'm going to get knocked off my feet. This is where we go with the Holy Spirit. We go a little bit further with the Holy Spirit, and we get certain place where the Holy Spirit starts wanting to take us somewhere, wants to do something with us, but we're like, do you know what happens? We hunker down, and we wide base, and we get staunch. We say, I'm not going any further than this, because if I do, I might fall over. I might look foolish, or I'm just going to get all wet. The water's going to take me where I don't want to go. And so what do? We stand firm. And so this is what happens, though. We're singing songs. I'm desperate for you. I want more of you. And this is what we do. We don't say, I'm not doing that. What we do is go like this. 150 chapters in the book of Psalms written about worship and honoring God. And like, I'm not doing it. People say to me all the time, I don't worship like you. I don't want you to worship like me because you're not me. You got your own story. You got your own song. But I don't think God did everything he did in me and died for my life and gave me a Holy Spirit advantage so I could just hang out like this all my life. I don't want to go further. I'm not going further. Some of us get in with the Holy Spirit, and then he starts to do something. He leads us into a group, or he leads us with a group of people, and then he wants us to speak out. He wants us to be firm. He wants us to do something. I'm not doing it. Then Pastor Ben says, invite somebody to VBS. It might change their lives. Come on out and serve. I got enough of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to give me any more. And we wonder why we're not experiencing the fullness of God in our life. Are you with me? And then with our finances, we do it with our finances. We give a little bit of ankle offering. Pennies, that's why they call them Pentecostals. And then we up to our knees, we give a little more. We get up to our waist, and it's like, oh, I gave enough. Stop talking about the, no, the Holy Spirit wants to take us on a journey. But where we want to go is read the rest of this verse. The rest of the verse, he wants you to get over your head. No, over your head, where you can't do, like, where you're trusting him. Where you're totally trusting him. Where there's nothing but God. God, I'm desperate for you. See, that's Holy Spirit leading. That's God, take my marriage where we've never gone. Take me on a missions trip this year. Most, but 99% of the people in this room right now, you've already predetermined you're not doing anything extra for God this year. You've already predetermined this is what you're going to do. Rather than saying, God, where do you want to lead me? Take the river, God. Let me jump in the river. Let me experience you. Let me go where you want to go. Let me do what you want to do. And if you know what? If I can't look foolish here, I can't look foolish out there. Come on, somebody. Come on, is there more of the Holy Spirit for my life, for my everyday life? That's what he wants to do with me. He wants to give me a purpose and a power and a presence that leaves here, that finds me at my workplace, that finds me at John Eagle and Aldi and every tennis court that I go on. I'm going to Bear Hollow today with an atheist to play tennis. God, Holy Spirit, go with me. Come on, somebody. Come on, if you're excited about the Holy Spirit, you just better stand to your feet right about now. Come on, somebody. And then the rest of this verse is everywhere the river goes, there's life, there's trees, there's planting, there's all these things. God, lead us in your Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, lead us. Come on, this isn't a corporate call right now. If you know there's more of the Holy Spirit that you would like to experience in the we concept of us, make your way out of your seat. Come on down here. Just come on down with me. Just come on down. This is for everybody. Now, if you're new here, well, I'm new here. Don't matter if you're new here. Come on down here. We're going to sing a song about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to pray for you right from where I am. Come on down, flooded here. But listen, don't come down like that. Don't come down like this is as far as I come. This is how I want you to come. I'm coming with a surrender. Come on, I'm coming with a surrender. Fall in, fall in, fall in. Move up, move up, move up, move in. Come on, somebody. Come on, come with a surrender right now. No, you got to lift your hands if you're going to surrender.